The recovery from the American bison or buffalo is remarkable. The goal of white settlers and governments as the United States moved west was to wipe out the animal, in part because exterminating buffalo would end the lifestyle and even the lives of Native Americans. Buffalo are off the endangered species list, but they still face challenges. Where they are protected and revered within Yellowstone National Park, they have no such protection outside of park boundaries. And that is why the Buffalo Field Campaign exists, to protect animals outside the park. The annual West Coast tour of the campaign is underway, with coming stops in Arcata, Cave Junction, and Eugene in the next week or so. Mike Meese is the executive director of the Buffalo Field Campaign and the co-founder. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So you've been at this for more than 20 years now. Describe the situation you found and what led to the push to get the Buffalo Field Campaign started.
Well, I think the most important thing to start with is what you were talking about, is that America touts the bison story as the biggest conservation success story of any of the rest. And what they don't tell you in that same breath is right now, there are probably 600,000 bison in the United States. But of those 600,000, less than 10,000 are genetically pure and not what we call beefalo, and that's buffalo mixed with the cattle bovine gene. Now, physically looking at them, you can't tell the difference, but their genetic makeup is what makes the Yellowstone herd so important. So of these less than 10,000 that are genetically pure, the only ones that don't live behind fences, hay-fed, or landlocked are the Yellowstone herd, and these are the direct descendants of what they believe to be the last 23 wild buffalo left in our country. And we established Yellowstone National Park to preserve them, and now, ironically, 130 years later, we're killing them for the sole benefit of the livestock industry of the state of Montana. And all of this is being conducted with your taxpayer dollars.
So help us understand that. You say for the protection of the livestock industry, what is the concern in the livestock industry that the buffalo will do when they get outside of Yellowstone National Park?
Well, in the Nativity, when they brought in that herd, they started to supplement it with other purebred buffalo, and they started what they called the Lamar Valley Ranch. And in the Nativity of Science of the Day, they ended up feeding the wild buffalo domestic cow milk, and that's when this disease, brucellosis, got into the wildlife of Yellowstone National Park. And right now, not only do the buffalo have it, the elk have it, and other animals, but this was a disease that was brought here from the European cattle and given to our wildlife from that process.
So you're saying brucellosis did not exist in the American buffalo herd without that intervention?
No, it was a European disease brought over with the European cattle.
All right, so then what is it that the buffalo do? It sounds like the primary problem takes place in the winter when they start wandering around looking for food outside of Yellowstone Park boundaries?
Well, I mean, that's one thing to take into consideration, is Yellowstone Park is not your ideal bison habitat. It is an area that's a high elevation plateau that traditionally gets a lot of the snow, and so they have to forage to lower elevations to be able to get to food and survive, and so that's when the problem occurs. Now, the buffalo have never transmitted the disease in a wild setting, but yet the elk have this disease and have, according to their records, transmitted the disease numerous times, but for some reason, the only animals that suffer any consequence are the buffalo, which they round up and ship to slaughter annually. And usually it's to the tune of a quarter of the entire herd. They kill over 1,000 a year. And so, you know, we're worried about their future and how they exist. And it's funny, you said they're not listed as an endangered species, but in November of 2014, we filed for an endangered species listing for the Yellowstone bison under the distinct population heading. Mm-hmm. And we won our first round in the courts last year. Of course, they appealed it, and we won our appeal. But just before I left on this roadshow about 2-3 weeks ago, they announced that they're rejecting the entire thing. And, of course, that just means another court battle. But you know, the ironic thing about the American Endangered Species listing is the very fastest it can go through the whole bureaucratic process is 8 years. So you have an animal that's on the need of help to the level of an endangered species, and the quickest way we can get them protection in this country is 8 years.
And that's assuming there are no denials, which you just went through, it sounds like, with the buffalo.
Exactly. So we're back in court again, but we do have very strong science, and that's why we waited so long to do this, is because we really wanted to make sure that we weren't doing a futile attempt at this listing.
We're talking about the Buffalo Field Campaign with its co-founder, Mike Meese, who's now the executive director of the campaign. He's in the West Coast Roadshow right now, coming to Berkeley on Friday, then Arcata next Tuesday, Cave Junction on, I think I got some dates wrong here. It looks like Wednesday, actually.
I've got the schedule.
Yeah, it's Wednesday, October 2nd in Cave Junction. I have Monday written down here, so that's not right. But then Corvallis on Thursday the 3rd, and then in Eugene, Friday through Sunday, October 4th through 6th. Our audience can join us here at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Derek and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And forgive me if this was mentioned prior, but is not the North American bison, Bison bonatus, extinct? The last one shot by a train in the 1800s, or maybe I don't know when it was, but just to add not only science but an imperative moral cause to your work.
Okay, thanks for that question, Derek. Appreciate it. So, was the original actual genetic stock of the American bison wiped out?
No, that was the whole thing, is that in Yellowstone they found what they believed to be the last 23 bison. And at that point they sent out the U.S. Cavalry to stand guard to make sure poachers did not kill them. And then a year and a half later they were able to establish our first national park, which was Yellowstone. And it was originally made for some safe habitat for the bison to exist in. So they were almost brought to extinction, but that was what these efforts were, to found Yellowstone and to save what little remnant we had of the 30 to 60 million buffalo that roam continent North America.
So you've been, as we mentioned at the top, doing this for more than 20 years now. It started, it looks like, in the early 90s. And has there been any change in the roundup and slaughter process since that time?
Well, I mean, it's funny, in this activist world, when I first started this in my naivety, I thought, man, this is one thing they didn't lie to us about in our history books. We openly admit killing 30 to 60 million buffalo. And then I started to learn about the strengths and the powers of the cattle barons of the West. And so, you know, throughout the years, we've secured more habitat. They used to use helicopters to do the hazing operations, which is pushing the buffalo back into the park. And we were able to get videotape of a grizzly bear getting included in those haze. So the federal agencies involved pulled their funding for the helicopter, and of course the state of Montana can't afford it. So we have not seen a helicopter in the air for the last 5 years. And you know, I think, you know, the endangered species listing is gaining ground, and, you know, but unfortunately under this administration, I mean, I don't think anything that's good for our children's future is being protected. We're all watching the puppet show of Trump. Meanwhile, he's gutting all our clean air, clean water, everything that's leaving our kids a future. And I think we see the outrage of the children through the climate change protests, but unfortunately it's not limited to just that arena. This administration has deemed that big business has the right to do everything and ruin our children's future, And I think people are just getting extremely frustrated and starting to get out in the streets and call this guy down. I mean, what does he care? He's not going to be alive to suffer the consequences that he is projecting on the whole human race and all the animals.
Yeah, okay, so back to the animals. Yeah, so talk about what the Buffalo Field Campaign has done over the years. I mean, how have you tried to get between the would-be collectors and slaughterers and the buffalo?
Well, we have patrols from mid-November until the end of May is when we have our field patrols. And we're out in the field every day with the buffalo that have left the safety of Yellowstone Park and trotted into the state of Montana where they suffer these repercussions. And first and foremost, we document every move made against them. We have video cameras and still cameras. The complicated thing with the hunt is now 7 different treaty tribes have implemented their treaty rights to go there to hunt these buffalo. And unfortunately, as most of the tribes will admit, they're just kind of being used. And they're all told, if you don't kill every buffalo that walks out of the park, we're going to just round them up and ship them to slaughter. And so we definitely have made progress uniting the tribes. And I am not the executive director. I am the campaign coordinator. I run the campaign.
Oh, thank
you. We just hired our newest executive director, and his name is James Holt. And he's in his first tribal member that, you know, also works to try and get that, or he was one of the instigators of getting his tribe's treaty recognized to have these rights. And so now the hunt's been going on for about 8 years, and we're now uniting the tribes to look into the potential of this management plan being a violation of their treaty rights and turning around and hopefully suing the management plan to allow the bison to migrate, to be a wildlife species in the state of Montana. Right now, they're deemed as an animal in need of disease control and have absolutely no rights or protections. And so that's another avenue we'll be pursuing in the next year.
Mike Meese, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the campaign coordinator for the Buffalo Field Campaign and the co-founder of BFC, coming to the region next week with appearances in Arcata on Tuesday, Cave Junction Wednesday, Corvallis Thursday, and Eugene Friday through Sunday, October 4 through 6. You have questions or comments now, please join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So what you're talking about with the no evidence of the spread of brucellosis from the bison herd, that should be fairly easy to prove, shouldn't it, Mike?
Well, I mean, and they'll admit it, but, you know, the cattle industry, like, here's a perfect example of their inability to have an inch of compromise. There is a vaccine for the cattle right now called RB54, and they rate that vaccine at about 65% effective, and the cattle industry is demanding that they need a vaccine that's 100% effective. And I try to always tell them, I was like, look, man, as humans, most of our vaccines are 60 to 70% effective that we use in the human beings. And so they're demanding a higher standard of life for their cows than us humans. So it's pretty irrational.
So let's talk about how the buffalo do fare over the winter. I mean, if they've gone out looking for food, do they find it in places? Is there any evidence of the animals starving because you're protecting them?
Well, not necessarily because we're protecting them, because one thing we truly believe is that we like to defend the land that the buffalo want to be on. So we're not pushing them back into the park and making them starve. We're just trying to help them, you know, have rights and be able to wander out of the park. So I can't say, I mean, animals starve in winter. That's, you know, nature has a way of taking care of the herd size too, and that's winter kill. And so naturally there is an amount of die-off that happens, but this management plan kills thousands every year, or 1,000 every year, the ones that are migrating out to survive to lower elevation lands. And so, and the ones that are migrating out still have what I refer to as herd memory, ancestral memories of how to survive in this area. And so the ones that we're killing are the ones potentially that are the strongest, the fittest, and that are still, you know, implementing the traits that, that buffalo have done since, I guess, time immemorial.
So if I'm counting correctly, this is the 20th year for the West Coast Road Show. Talk about what the show has done for your cause, your membership, your fundraising.
Well, first and foremost, and I got to thank you for media. Right now, obviously, we're in turmoil over what's truth, what's not truth. And so part of our goal of the roadshow is to create our own media, to make the people that listen help us distribute our information and get the word out, as we like to say, spread the word to save the herd. Number two, we have a lot of volunteer opportunities. Basically, if you want to come out and volunteer for a couple weeks in November through May, you just have to pay to get to camp and back, and then we'll feed, clothe, and house you. We are sponsored by Patagonia, so we have warm gear, and a big part of our roadshow is recruiting volunteers to come stand with the buffalo with us. And then, of course, the financial incentive, we sell merchandise and stuff to put money in the gas tank to make it up the road. We do make some money, but that is not the goal. The goal of this roadshow is education and outreach and recruitment to get people involved.
Quickly, we've got about a minute left. We've only touched on the field activities, but you also do work in legislatures and courts. We talked a bit about the court stuff. What about in legislatures in the states that surround Yellowstone?
Well, we definitely have worked in there. We had a bill, our legislation, thank goodness, only meets every other year, and we've tried to get some laws removed and some things that put the livestock department in charge, but unfortunately, the state of Montana is fairly owned by the cattle industry, and so that's why we've directed more of our attention to the federal level to be able to get the American people behind this. I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, we deemed this animal to be our national mammal. And I know growing up, the reverence I was taught to have for the bald eagle, and we're hoping that we can project that kind of energy and support for the American bison, because they truly are an icon of our country.
All right, the bison protected in Yellowstone, not outside the Yellowstone boundaries, and that is why the Buffalo Field Campaign exists. Coming to Humboldt State, actually to Arcata Playhouse next Tuesday the 1st, Cave Junction on Wednesday the 2nd, Corvallis on Thursday the 3rd, and Eugene the 4th through 6th. Mike Meese, the campaign coordinator, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thanks for your time. Have a good day.